Part 1. The Reactive Life. Chapter 1. The Prodigal on the Other Side of the Palace. We've heard the story of the prodigal son many times. The young man who insults and disgraces his father by demanding an early inheritance. Who moves away from his father, lives it up, burns it up, comes crashing down, and eventually has to move in with some pigs, the ultimate symbol of unclean and destitute living. The term prodigal has come to characterize anyone who has ever acted out, through addiction, rebellion, recklessness, promiscuity, or any number of other destructive behaviors, and people who have surrendered ownership of their lives to an external controlling influence. For these prodigals, a group that includes both men and women, sons and daughters, the Bible says, their God is their appetite, and their focus is woefully short-sighted. That's why the appetites that carry them away are often the very same appetites that bring them home again. In the parable, the wayward son wakes up cold and hungry one morning and realizes that the servants back home have it better than he does. At least they have a roof over their heads and food on the table. So it isn't repentance or even regret that draws him home, as much as it is simple hunger and poverty. Still, he heads back, burdened with shame and rehearsing his appeal. Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. But when he arrives at his father's house, actually before he even gets there, a remarkable thing happens. The father, whom the son has dishonored, insulted, and abandoned, comes running toward him, embraces and kisses him, and welcomes him home. There's no shaming, blaming, or even explaining to be done. The father simply enfolds him in his loving arms and calls for a celebration, for this son of mine was dead and is now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. At the very center of taking your life back is a return to the father who has been watching and waiting and hoping for you to come home. There is no shame or recrimination, only celebration. Maybe, after all you've done, it's hard for you to believe that anyone, much less God, would come running to you if you turned back toward home. That's precisely how scandalous this parable was in the ears of the people who heard it firsthand from Jesus. A wealthy landowner in those days would never have run anywhere. That would have been far beneath his dignity. Not only that, but the son had already dishonored his father by squandering his inheritance and running away. And yet the point of the parable is that God is always moving toward us, always calling us home, always ready to enfold us in his loving arms. We expect judgment. God offers grace. We expect condemnation. God responds with mercy. We expect rejection. Jesus says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." If you've been acting out, we encourage you to address those issues in your life. Even if it's your appetites, not love, repentance, or desire for connection, that bring you home, it simply proves that God can use the destructive things in our lives to bring us to the point of surrender. But only when you're willing to face up to your destructive behaviors will you even be able to begin taking your life back. If you will wake up and recognize where your decisions have taken you, and if you will return home to your Heavenly Father, you will find Him waiting to take you back in, just as the father in the parable is waiting and willing to welcome his son home. That was my, David's, experience. Like many teens, I acted out all through high school. Once I was old enough to drive and got a car, I did whatever I wanted. My parents were powerless to stop me, so they just ignored everything. I knew that what I was doing was wrong, but I didn't care. I once felt guilty enough about what I was doing that I